And Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever's right.' So they went. And he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock and did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Come to the table of grace. This is the last in our series about come to the table this month. And I just ran across the most amazing video of a table ad this week. Just watch this. Check this out. Isn't that cool? I've never seen anything like that. Maybe you guys have, but it was just amazing to me. Look at that. The table expands. And this parable of Jesus that he tells to his inner circle of disciples today is for everybody, especially those of us who've been around the table for a while. And one of the spiritual and practical dangers we face regarding who belongs at the table. And I have to say, I've never really liked this parable. It's always bugged me. When I read it earlier this week, my first reaction, as usual, was, "It's not fair! It's not fair!" I mean, look at this. 6 a.m., you have all these migrant workers who show up to work a 12-hour day, and they're promised a fair day's wage. So let's say 15 bucks an hour, 12 hours, 180 bucks for the day. Decent deal. They shake hands with the owner on that, and they're set. They go to work. 9 a.m., the landowner finds some more migrant workers standing idle in the marketplace and puts them to work, promising them to pay them whatever's right. Noon, more workers. 3 p.m., more workers. 5 p.m., the landowner goes out and finds some people standing around, and when they're asked why, they say, "Well, nobody's hired us." So he hires them as well. 6 p.m., quitting time. Stop working and come and get your paycheck. Starting with the last first, the owner says. So let's figure this out. You have some workers who put in 12 hours the whole day. Some put in 9, right? Some put in 6 hours. Some put in 3, and some put in 1 hour, right? And then the ones who worked 1 hour come up to get paid because he says last first, and lo and behold, they get 180 bucks, a day's wage, right? The 6 a.m. folks are watching this from the end of the line, and they're going, "Holy smokes, the boss just paid these folks 180 bucks for 1 hour. Let's see, 180 times our 12 hours, that's over 2,000 bucks. We're having prime rib tonight." You know? Huh? And then they watch very closely, you know, because the people who work 9 hours, come up, you know, $180. Then the 3 hour folks, $180, they get paid. The people who work 6 hours, $180. The people who work 9 hours, $180, they get paid, the day's wages. And when the 6 a.m. folks come up, they stare down at their paychecks that say $180 and they go, "That's not fair." Can you identify with that? Yeah. That's no way to run a business. For heaven's sakes, pretty soon all the workers will be showing up at 5 p.m. But Jesus wasn't doing an MBA seminar at Sam Houston University on health and proper business practices or anything. He's talking about a different kind of economy entirely. The economy of the kingdom of the heavens, right? Which works entirely different from the kingdoms of this world. At the women's Bible study this week, we've been talking about the kingdom of the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of the heavens. They're both important, but the kingdom of heavens trumps everything else. And so it works differently than the kingdom of this world. But even if it's about spiritual rewards, it's not fair that at the end of the day, those of us who have been working for God our whole lives, cradle Christians, they call us, you know, we get the same reward as the ones who just showed up much later in life. After all we've done, huh? You'd think God would appreciate us more than that, don't you think? It reminds me of my dad who, when he was a laborer and he worked for the Parks and Recreation Department in Eau Claire, and if I ever drove past where he was working, it would look like this, and guess where my dad would be? He'd be the one who's digging while everybody else watched. It's not fair! He never seemed to complain, though. But again, this isn't the kingdom of this world, the structures of this world where life isn't fair. This is the kingdom of heaven where God is the owner and the ruler. So the end of the day comes and we all get paid the same at the end of life, regardless of how long and hard we've worked, right? But of course, here's the deal, guys. I think you know this. This really isn't about rewards either, this story. It's not about rewards at all. It's about God's grace, God's unconditional love and forgiveness for sinners. Right? And it's not something you earn. It's a gift. And when you come to the table of grace, it's not something you deserve or could ever earn. When it comes to dishing out God's grace, it's like Martin Luther said, these were his dying words. We're all beggars. It's true. We're all beggars at the table of grace. And this is the key point I want you to get. You know what? When it comes to God's grace, to a living relationship with Jesus Christ where you experience that, there isn't more or less grace. We all get all of God's love in Jesus Christ. It's all there for every one of us all the time. Whenever we show up. It's overflowing, it's abundant, it's in the atmosphere, the kingdom of the atmosphere, in a sense. It's the very air you breathe, and it's like this. Either in that air that we breathe or you're not. Just like you can't be a little pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not pregnant, right? Or, you know, you can't be a little baptized. Either you're baptized or you're not baptized in Christ Jesus. Or it's like there's a package waiting for you at the post office, waiting for you, just for you, but if you never go pick it up, it doesn't do you a single bit of good, does it? But it's still yours. But then I want you to think about it this way. This takes it even further. Somebody mentioned this week in one of our Bible studies, how wonderful it is for those who came to Jesus earlier in their lives, because they've been getting to live and grow in this grace-filled relationship with Jesus Christ their whole lives long, huh? They've been getting to grow for years whenever they started till now, with all its ups and downs, of course. Compared to those who just showed up and discovered God's unconditional love very recently. And I hear this often from newer Christians. They say, sometimes with some sadness and grief in their voice, you know, if only I'd had this relationship with God years ago, maybe some of this stuff wouldn't have happened. Maybe life would have been different. Well, that might be true. But guess what? You have it now, and now is the right time to receive it for all of us. Several years ago, Emily and I in Milwaukee went to an open AA meeting, and at this AA meeting, they were celebrating the 25th birthday, sobriety birthday, of a good friend of ours from our neighborhood, Steve. And the church fellowship hall where the meeting was being held was just packed with people who stood up to express their love and appreciation. They did a roast on Steve and all that stuff. All the people that had touched his life, they just wanted to say something. And Steve was this kind of humble, quiet guy. He was a plumber, and he was usually in his work bent over under something. He wasn't a guy who stood up and impressed people. And you could tell when he got up front to respond that he was like almost embarrassed at being the center of attention. And so he said this. He says, "You know, guys, I really appreciate everything you've said for me. It's meant a lot. So thanks. But I'm not the most important person in the room." And then he said, "Is there anybody here who's come to their first AA meeting tonight?" And a couple people sheepishly near the back of the room raised their hands a little bit, and he said, "You're the most important ones in the room." At AA, it's always this way. The last one in the door is the most important person in the room. The rest of us are here for you, the same way somebody was here for us when we came in the door the first time. In the kingdom of the heavens, that's how it is. The last shall be first, and all are welcome. The last one at the door is the most important. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. We have this evangelist in the congregation who's, I think he's 92 years old now, and he does a darn good job of welcoming people. This is Christ's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of grace, we're singing. Now, of course, here's the deal. Welcoming people to the table can get you in a whole lot of trouble sometimes. At the time of Barack Obama's election, the next day, in his profoundly gracious concession speech, John McCain told the story of a time way back in 1901 when President Teddy Roosevelt invited Booker T. Washington, a leader of the black community that some of you may know about, invited him to the White House for dinner. He'd had a meeting with Booker T. Washington to get some advice on some cabinet appointments, and the hour was late. And Teddy, who was, if you remember, a very impulsive guy, so he just said, "Why don't you come to the dinner with us at the White House tonight?" And Booker T. Washington hesitated at first, and then Teddy realized what he'd said. They both realized that this was a huge risk, but the invitation stayed. So Booker T. Washington came to dinner at the White House. This was the first time a black man came to the White House, the seat of American power, not as a servant, as a butler or somebody in the kitchen, but as a friend of the family, as an equal. When the news got out into the press the next day about this dinner, it unleashed just a tidal wave of fury. It was considered a national scandal. And both of them received death threats over this whole dinner. And McCain said this at the end of his concession speech: "America is is worlds away from the cruel bigotry of that time. There's no better evidence of this than the election of an African American to the presidency of the United States." Imagine the table at the White House. It may be a table of this world, but it was that night with Teddy Roosevelt and Booker T. Washington, the table of grace. It's an ever-expanding table. Like this. it can get bigger than we can even imagine. Just look at what's happening in our Catholic Lutheran journey from conflict to communion, we're calling it. The study that we've been doing this year with St. Simon and Jude, between them and us at Lord of Life, has been a profound, profound experience. And it's been focused on what we agree on and what we still disagree on. And the things we disagree on are a whole lot less than the ones we agree on. I think it was, what, James, 32 to 13 or something? Yeah. Yeah. And just look what it led to. This collaboration we had after the storm, where they started with the Refuge Center, and then we did the second wave, and all of them worked together with us in this incredible way. And people who have been working together between our two congregations have been adamant about this. Our relationship with one another must continue to grow as a sign of reconciliation to a deeply troubled and divided world. Even if we're not officially at the communion table yet. It won't be long. Because this is God's table, it's not yours or mine. Come to the table of grace. We've come this far. We're going to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation over at St. Simon and Jude. That's one of our celebrations. We'll do more on Friday, October 28th at 6 o'clock with dinner. They're serving dinner. And then we're going to celebrate together and make a covenant with each other in terms of how we're going to continue to pray, study, and service together. And it won't be long before we share the meal too. Because that's what God wants. And God's table of the kingdom just keeps expanding. All are at the table. It's going to get bigger and bigger until all are included. So come. It's all here for you. God's love and grace for sinners. Whether you've been coming a long time or whether you're the last one in the door today, this table is for you. Just come. Come to the table of grace.